Good morning. We'll pick up at the end of Matthew 4, and we'll be looking at the Beatitudes this morning in our time together. And certainly been one of those mornings where it's kind of been solidified about the sermon. In Bible class, we mentioned the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, Mike doing such a good job reading from Matthew 6. Kind of sets it up. There was no conversation beforehand, so we'll give God the credit on that, since He is so good to us, right? As we kind of get ready, and as you're making your way over there, I'll just mention a few things. I'd sent out on the app, and I think that goes straight to the email, that the Lord had blessed us so much after our 40 days of prayer to start the school year. We're going to try to do that again to start off 2024. And there are a few little prayer prompts there. And if you'd like your name added to the calendar, you can respond to either that comment. Or I've also got this crazy thing called a Google Sheets thing that you can put your own name on, right? I'm kind of getting pushed into the technology, updating a little bit. So I'll try to send that link out. And obviously, you can come up here and walk around the building, or you can do it from home. And you're certainly welcome to fast as well if that's something that you feel comfortable doing. And we would encourage that. And there are a few things there that we want to specifically pray about. And of course, that's thanking God for all the blessings He's given us in response to our prayers earlier this year. So look forward to that. Also, March the 22nd and 23rd, we're going to be hosting my cousin Ben, a professional counselor, is going to come, and we're going to present our material on mental health from a Christian perspective. That'll be open to anybody in the community. More information coming soon, but just save the date for that. We'd love to have you come for as much as you can, right? You can come Friday night. You can come all day Saturday. You can come Sunday. Some of the lessons will be on Sunday morning as we wrap up that discussion. But we'd love for you to come. And even more importantly to that, we would love your input. I'm more of the let's find a date and let's just show up. I know there are people here who are more equipped at kind of making, I guess the word I'm shooting for is cozy, a more inviting atmosphere, and we certainly want that. And if that's something that you would like to be a part of, some of you, you're not going to have an option. We're going to come to you and be like, hey, we want you to be on this. But we certainly don't want to leave anybody out. If that is your gifting, it is not mine, but if it is your gifting, we would love your input. And so it will be geared more towards high school and older. Age group will be dealing with some things, and I think it's been a good thing. We've presented several places, Alaska, West Virginia, so we've kind of covered that. We thought, you know, let's do it in Fayetteville. So we'll be doing that. So look for your opportunities to serve and certainly to be there as much as you can that weekend. As we get into Matthew chapter 5, we start to look at the Beatitudes. I think it's important to back up and look there at the end of 4. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. We talked about 2 weeks ago that this would have included people who were not Jewish. They would have been Gentiles. It would have been a really kind of a large swath of representation here. And they're drawn to him. And so that kind of leads up to chapter 5 when Jesus is going to present for the first time that we have recorded the citizenship. What does it mean? What kind of attitude does it take to be a citizen of the kingdom? I would be willing to guess, and Phil probably could speak to this more than I can, when our founding fathers of this country founded the country, they had a vision of what a citizen of this country would look like. We know that because there's this thing called the Bill of Rights, right? These are the things they're going to be responsible for doing and maintaining. And obviously, I'm not going to put them in the realm of Jesus, but that's kind of what we're getting here. Here are the attitudes of those who will have a spot in this kingdom. And the interesting thing is if you let your cynicism, let's wallow in our cynicism for just a few minutes and put ourselves in these people who from sun up to sundown work to put food on their table under the thumb of the Romans at the highest level, and under the thumb of the religious elect at their near level. And the things that Jesus says here are created to make you say, that's impossible. All the evidence in the world points to Jesus being wrong about what really is success in the world. And things have not changed. We wallow in our cynicism. It's really easy to read the Beatitudes and go, Jesus, I don't know what you're selling here, but I'm not buying. And the interesting thing is this is the what we might consider the elementary principles of Jesus, right? He comes out and it's much in the vein of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are geared on not necessarily your attitude and your mentality. It's the do's and don'ts. You can, by the Ten Commandments, and I think they had this approach. I don't think this is the way God meant it to be accepted. And Jesus goes on to unpack that, as Mike has read this morning. And he goes, you've heard it said, but in your mind you think this. And guess who knows what you're thinking? God does. You go and you think, oh, I put on this good show and everybody thinks I'm really religious, but God knows differently. And so for God to look at you and go, okay, and be acceptable, to be pleasing in His sight, here are the attitudes of those people. And if you're like me, it doesn't take me long to get down the list to go, that's not me, that's not me. Ooh, that one hurts a bit. Ooh, there's some work that needs to be done there. And I think it starts off right out the gate. He is, once again, going back to our theme over the last few weeks, He is stepping into the law of Moses. He's saying, and He'll say, you've heard it written. You've heard it said. But now I say, I'm correcting. There's a market correction here that Jesus is doing. And He starts off, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up into the mountain. And after He sat down, notice there's no mention of tablets. I think that's on purpose. He doesn't need tablets. He is the authority. Right? I get it, Moses. Like, I need it written out for me. I need it written down. And even then, I blow it. I'm not speaking as one who has authority this morning. I'm speaking as one to go, hey, I'm right there with you. I read this and I go, man, there's a lot that needs to change. There's still things after 25 years, 30 years of following Jesus that I just don't have. And the beauty of that is it's absolutely there for us to say, with me and with the Romans and with the Pharisees, this is impossible. I cannot, that's the point. It is not going to be by human fruition that this happens. Right? He doesn't need us, but He wants us. That's different, isn't it? It's different. It's different. He's inviting us in to a relationship. He's inviting us into responsibility. And here are the attitudes of those who really get it. So I want you to understand, I'm not speaking from a standpoint of I've got it. You need to get, I've got a process and I've got a plan that you need to get on and we'll all be successful together. There's one process, there's one plan, and it is the man, Jesus Christ, that now indwells us through the Holy Spirit and is working on us, massaging us, sometimes being surgical, sometimes not being so gentle himself. And what does the citizen of the kingdom do? Bring it on, Jesus. I want to look like you so much that whatever process that takes that you deem necessary, I am open to that. And you all know that have lived it long enough, those are dangerous words and very uncomfortable, because that's what you're doing. You're inviting the uncomfortableness of the Spirit. And we do it every single day. Or that's what we're called to do. And what does He say? And I've already asked for forgiveness on this, but I want to read the New Living Translation, verse 3, because I think it does a better job. See, there are translations that shoot for the context of the situation that better explain it in the large looking, and then there are some translations that are just going to be word for word, literal from the Greek, and it's going to make you go, how does that fit into everything? And I think in this occasion, the New Living Translation does really well with verse 3 And then we're going to go back to New American Standard for the rest of the Beatitudes. But I think it really does a good job here in verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Right? If we really, truthfully, in a lurch, and we come to the realization that I am lost without this, our priority list changes, does it not? Man, when them kiddos came into this world, did your priorities change, Ben? They shifted, right? There's that moment where it's like, oh man, they, in our situation, these people that just brought these kids to our home, they are now left and gone, and I don't know when I'll see them again. Oh, they're our responsibility. Okay. And then all of a sudden, all those parenting ideas you had before don't work, right? There's a breakdown here. And so he's saying, blessed are those who understand how lost they are without God. And they just open their hands and go, I'm undone. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, came to rise no more, but the master of the sea. And just hold on. And that's really what he's saying. Hold on. Because I'm all you've got. But the blessing is the next part. He's all we need. And so blessed are those who realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In comparison to God, we're all poor. We all have nothing. It's all His. This morning I sat there and I thought, you know, as Rick said, you know, there are people who woke up this morning, devastation, lost loved ones. And, you know, most of my evening last night, I was walking around, sad face over a basketball game, right? And there's room for that. It's like I just sat there this morning and looked around and went, ah, contentment. What a blessing that is. Because when you get older, you realize there's going to be times where that's not the case. And what we lean back on are these times where we're together, together. And it's a tremendous blessing. Picks up there in verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Have you seen people who've mourned who weren't comforted? I mean, there's evidence everywhere, right? But once again, what's the focus? Have we mourned to God? Have we had honesty with God? Are we willing to be open? One of the great benefits of share time is that, right? And every time somebody shares, I'm blown away. It's a God thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's an opportunity and a blessing to us to hear people willing to share and put it on the screen. And they go, my life is open and bare to God, and I need your assistance. How many times have I denied the blessing of having someone mourn with me and comfort me because I was just too stubborn? And I got this. It goes against verse 3. You don't got that, right? We don't. And we never have, no matter how much we try to convince ourselves. We are undone without Him. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. But Jesus, who is... Do we think of the Romans and go, gentle? Pilate himself is remembered for being a brutal bully. Right? In fact, we see a very different side of Pilate, and that's the one we connect with, right? Because it's the one we see. Oh, you know, Pilate wasn't such a bad dude. Go read a history book. Pilate was not great. But Jesus, you said gentle, right? I don't see any gentleness. These people that are we're under their thumb, they're not gentle. They break up every gathering we get. They call us dogs and rats. We're awful and terrible. What's the evidence to this? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness or justice, for they shall be satisfied. Right? There are people running around all the place. There's no justice. One of the things that is worrisome and concerning to me about our society is there seems to be no justice. Right? He says, what do you hunger? What's your desire? You want justice. You seek justice. Last night, we're in the midst of a basketball game, and we're shooting three-pointers, and I basically told him at halftime, if you shoot another three-pointer, you can come stand with me. You're going to sit over here, and I'm tired of seeing it, and you're going to come out. And one of our best kids does everything he's ever told to do in the heat of the moment, throws one up. 2 minutes left in the game. I mean, we're getting obliterated. So I call him out and set him over. And I said, you shot a three-pointer. He goes, oh, coach, I wasn't even thinking. I said, well, I got to be a man of my word. And he said, you know, I appreciate that, coach. That means a lot to me. You know, like, here we go. I knew there was a reason I liked you so much. Right? I want the justice done, even if I'm the one that must receive the discipline. The justice to seek it. And I looked around this morning also, and there's a lot of people in here drinking coffee. I'm going to have some more myself. Eating snacks, right? We try in that fellowship. I hope you know that there is a purpose to that, right? I mean, it's not we just show up and eat. It's a chance to rub elbows and be around each other. But there's also a desire and need to eat and drink, right? And so we're meeting that, but also something bigger and more important. And so these desires that drive us, think about how much of your life, even in our fast food era, is based on when am I going to eat next? As a teacher of 7th and 8th grade boys and having a daughter who's growing like crazy, you can't keep them fed. And he says, the citizen of the kingdom desires what God wants more than food or drink. And Jesus is speaking from experience, right? Just a chapter back or two, right? He's been in that situation. It's not that we eat. It's every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's not something I'm seeing from people. You see, Jesus' response is, exactly. If you're a citizen of the kingdom, you don't live like everybody else. What's the point? He says, if you love those who love you, don't even the Gentiles do that? Isn't that a low basis, right? I think equality is a great thing to shoot for. But really, when you think about it, it's a really low bar, right? I can hate people equally, right? I can dislike people equally. That actually comes pretty easy. But to call to love your enemy, to pray for them, once again, been a Christian since I was 12, right? I can't really remember the last time I sat down and prayed for the salvation of Hamas. Right? Maybe it's because I don't view them as an enemy, because they view me as an enemy. Maybe that's, if I can paint it in a way where I'm super religious and spiritual, but I doubt it, right? But when we think about it, like, if all of Hamas laid down their arms tomorrow and said, we've given our life to Jesus Christ, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, think of the world's issues would be a lot less if that happened. Is it possible? Do we believe, as citizens of the kingdom of God, that that can happen? Or, if you're like me, does my cynicism show up? I'm not talking bad about wisdom. Wisdom's necessary. Right? He's not telling us to be dumb, to be not smart. He's telling us to be wise. But we got to be careful that we don't go, well, my cynicism is wisdom. Maybe a part. They're not the same. Because cynicism is defeating. It paralyzes us. It keeps us from getting out of the bed in the morning. What Jesus is saying is, if you believe I'm on the throne and I'm in charge, this is how the citizen, the attitude that you live with. Are the Romans merciful? Are the Pharisees and Sadducees merciful? Maybe some of them. Can't lop everybody in, but I would say, generally speaking, we don't equate that word with them. Do people equate it with you? When they see you and the way your face looks when you see them, do they go, oh, that person's merciful? You know what's really awesome about working in school? It's because kids call it like they see it. They call it like they see it. Now, are they prone to having a wrong thought? Yes, absolutely they are. But they can read a face like nobody's business, right? Or at least they used to, you know. They can do that. They know who's inviting, who's acceptable, right? And it may not even be them. It may just be an age thing. What does this look like? Oh, they're 20-year-olds. They don't know anything. So I'm going to help them. I'm going to have a relationship with them. I'm going to help them learn from my mistakes. Or they're 20-year-olds. They don't know anything. So figure it out. Big difference, is it not? It's a huge difference. And we, in our ministries here, have a tremendous opportunity to be the right one. Right? Because what would we need to remember? How do we know they don't know anything at 20? Because I didn't know anything at 20. I had no clue. Not sure I know much at 42. It's that mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's not what I'm quoting the Romans to. They're not. Well, they do. The Pax Romana, right? By force. There will be peace. Or you won't be here anymore, right? And so much of our churches have that. There will be peace or you won't be here anymore. And that's not real peace. The peacemaker. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you sure about that, Jesus? Like, I can get on the train of all these, but you're asking me to be persecuted more than I already am? My life's hard, Jesus. It's difficult. Jesus, I've paid my dues. I've done the things that are necessary. It's time for someone else to do that. I don't know that there's a more prideful or ego-based statement you can make. Because if I trust that Jesus is on the throne, then I trust his timing to tell me when it's time to go home. And when I mean home, I mean done. Go to be with him. That's what Paul said. I would much rather be with Jesus. There's some people in this room right now said, hey, if I could go be with Jesus, I'd choose it in a heartbeat right now. And you'd be in the same boat with Paul. But Paul says, until that time, I will be the Beatitudes. I'm going to align my priorities with Jesus. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I don't know about you, I can sustain a lot, you know. I mean, there's a lot to say bad about Travis Creasy, right? There's a list I probably could give you. My wife could probably pitch in if she wanted to. She's too kind for that, right? Thankfully. But he says the response is what? Philippians. We're studying Philippians in Bible class on Sunday morning, right? Come join us. Rejoice. It's not just deal with it, bear it, rejoice. That's not saying we can't be sad. He just told us, hey, if you're sad, mourn, so you'll be comforted. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify Travis Creasy for being an amazing human being. Nope. I want God to receive the glory. For God to receive the glory. If God gets the glory, will we be blessed by that? He just literally told us, yes. If you do things for him, there is just an inherent blessing that comes along with that. Either, think about it this way, either people will see what you do for God and hate you and persecute you for it, you're blessed. Or they'll praise God and be drawn closer to him, which is really what we want. And so who wins in the end? We do because of God and who sits on the throne. But all of this, right? It is so easy. I just read through them. It's so easy to read it. Oh, we've heard that 1,000 times, and great. Awesome. Read it again tomorrow. But be careful that you don't just read through them and you don't register what he's saying, because that is so tempting. I've done it. Of 1,000 of those times, probably 999. These are hard, difficult sayings, because very few of them have an outward expression. There's no way that we can measure it and go, well, I'm doing pretty good, and that's what we want to do. He says, no, this is a day in, day out attitude. Right? Basketball season wouldn't be so difficult if they were a finished product at the end. If I got what I got at the end, at the beginning, man, we'd be rolling. But it's the difficulties along the way where you teach the attitude. Hey, your body language stinks. Fix it. Right? Guys, I'm the coach. Let me be negative. You guys be positive. You guys lift each other up. That's your job. If there's something that needs to change, I'll let you know. Your attitude, your body language. If something's not right, God's good to discipline us and let us know. And so the understanding here is that we trust God. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For I truly say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's impossible, Jesus. I can't do that. Exactly. Because in my Bible, there's a heading. But in the original, there's no heading that splits this up. Because he says, you will not, if your righteousness has surpassed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Folks, if you don't get who he's going hard on, don't let that break. Because every statement he says, either the Pharisees do it, Sadducees, scribes do it, and they're wrong. Or the Romans do it and they're wrong. Or they do it and you're wrong. So anybody gets this idea that Jesus is peace-loving hippie Jesus that never said anything, that hurt anybody's feelings or went hard on somebody, the literal Sermon on the Mount is all about how they've got it wrong. And the only way you're going to be different is to live by these attitudes. They said don't commit murder. I tell you, not even to talk bad about anyone. And my cynicism flag goes up. Surely you don't mean Joe Biden, right? Surely not that guy. Like, we're Americans. We can say whatever we want, right? I get it. And let me tell you, my toes are as flat as they can get. Because everything's Uncle Joe's fault. But that's my cynicism flag. If you wake up tomorrow and you go, I'm not going to be cynical today. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to focus on the fact that Jesus is on the throne. You'll be different than everybody else right out the gate. Completely different. I guarantee you, you know this. I guarantee you there will be enough things said bad about anyone who's doing anything good remotely or in a leadership position without you piling on. And if you just wake up and say, I'm not going to be a part of that. Jesus is on the throne. Try it. I'm going to try it. Lord knows I need to try it. Right? If I'm going to keep coaching basketball, I need to try it. But it's different. And the right people will be drawn to it. And the wrong people will be left out of it. And they'll say all bad things about you. And guess what Jesus just said? Good. It means you're doing the right thing. Not everybody's on the righteous train. And if you can't handle me talking about your attitude, just wait till I say you got to eat my body and drink my blood. Because we'll wave bye-bye to a bunch of people. It is for everybody. Everybody's invited. But everybody gets a choice. Everybody gets a choice. It's just like everybody's problems. Right? I want to solve everybody's problems. But I'm not invited to all of them. If they want my help, I'll be there to help them. And I'm letting Jesus align my priorities. You want to do it with me? Because I need help. I need you to call me out when it's not happening. Hey, that's just not really the thing, Travis. And if we can come together and just assume that, you know, I think Miss Gina's got my best interest at heart. And she loves me, and she may say some things to me that I don't appreciate. But obviously, God's trying to tell me something. And that's how I choose to view it. And we grow like that. There can be no growth without a little difficulty. So this morning, where you're at, I've went longer than I meant to go. But hey, God's awesome, right? But if you're out there and you're struggling, welcome to the party. We are on the struggle bus. And today it may be a little more overwhelming for me than it was yesterday, or maybe yesterday, vice versa. But you're not alone. That's the main thing. If I read these Beatitudes and you're like, man, I think I got one of those maybe, I've been there. And we're here to help you in any way that we can. But it starts with welcoming the Spirit of God into your life and accepting the salvation that He's given us. Whatever that looks like, we want to encourage you. And we're going to stand and sing the song as perdition for us to help us think, to join. And when you sing, that's us acknowledging that we've all been there. And that we're in our voices, we're saying, hey, I need Jesus more than anything else. I need His Spirit in my life. So if there's a way that we can assist you after the song or during share time, we want to encourage you to do that as we now stand and sing.